I want you to turn to Job 33. Job chapter 33. I want to read the portion of scripture that led, I think that was written by Ed Hale, those words that she just sang. A ransom was found. Job 33. And then I'll get to my message in a minute. This is just an introduction, we'll call it. A devotional before the message, we'll call this. But I was thinking about this passage when she was singing that. Job 33, look at verse 23 and 24. If there be a messenger with him. What does that word messenger mean? It means representative. Maybe make a note of that. If there be a representative with him. I tell you, we need a representative before God, don't we? We've got to have a representative. Our God's a consuming fire. And you can't come to him as you are. You can't deal one-on-one with God. We need a representative. We need one who will make an appearance before God always on our behalf. I need a representative. Christ is that representative. Okay, read on. If there be a messenger or representative with him, an interpreter. What does that word mean? Mediator. A mediator. We need a mediator. We need not only one to represent us before God, we need somebody to speak to God for us and to speak to us for God. We've got to have a mediator. The scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there's one God and one mediator. Not two mediators, just one mediator. Mary's not a mediator. A dead saint is not a mediator. Our Lord Jesus is the only mediator. He's the only one who is the true interpreter. You see, he interprets or he teaches us the gospel of God's grace. He instructs us. He's the interpreter. He's the mediator. One among a thousand. To show unto man his uprightness, Christ's uprightness. Then he is gracious unto him. That is, if we have a representative, if we have a mediator, between us and God, between God and us, God's going to be gracious to us. In fact, he's gracious to us in giving us a representative and a mediator. Then he's gracious unto him, and God says, deliver him from going down to the pit. That's where we're going by nature. That's what we deserve. All of us are deserving of nothing less than death and hell and judgment. That's what we deserve. That's what we got coming to us. But the Lord, because we have a representative and we have a mediator, God says, deliver him from going down to the pit, from going down to hell. What's the reason? God says, I found a ransom. You know what the word ransom means? That's the price of a life. What did it cost God to save us from our sins? It took the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said a ransom was found. In his infinite wisdom, he found a ransom. He found a way to save us consistent with his justice. I appreciate the song. That was very good. Okay, now, for the message. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. That was just, we're getting warmed up now. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to say that I'm very thankful to be back. But, you know, when you're over there, when I was over there preaching in a nice Aloha shirt and in shorts and barefooted, because they take off the shoes over there when you go in somebody's house, I could get used to that. But I didn't think you'd be used to it. So we have a little different customs over here, but I thoroughly enjoy being there, and I always enjoy preaching the gospel to those before whom I stand. And I thank you for sending me over. Appreciate that. And they appreciate it also. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Here's my subject: preaching the gospel. That's my subject, preaching the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, is what Paul says, I have nothing to glory of. I have nothing to boast of, because it's the Lord who saved me by his grace. It's the Lord who called me when I was on the road to Damascus, taking papers that I have authorizing me to arrest anybody who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord did something for me. I didn't do anything for him. He saved me. He washed me. He ransomed me. He redeemed me. He forgave me. He robed me in righteousness. I don't have anything to glory of. And whatever gifts Paul had, he knew they were gifts from God. Anybody who's able to communicate the gospel of the grace of God, to tell people how God saves sinners, we're not going to thank that man for the abilities he's got. We're going to say, Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the honor for teaching this man to preach the gospel clearly to us, to tell us how God can be just and justify the ungodly. And Paul says, I don't have anything to glory of. I don't have anything to boast of. He was a wretched sinner on his way to hell, believing a false religion, believing the more he did for God, the more God would do for him. It's God who turned him around. It's God who saved him. It's God who made an arrest by grace. It's God who is after him. He wasn't after God. The Bible says no man seeketh after God. It's Saul of Tarsus. He wasn't seeking the Lord. In fact, he was seeking to stamp out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I don't have anything to glory in. I have nothing to boast about. Our brother read to us there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, by the grace of God I am what I am. And if you're a believer looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for all of your righteousness before a holy and just God, you don't have anything to boast of either. God taught you the gospel if you believe the gospel of God's grace. We don't have anything to glory of. We sure got a lot to be thankful for, though, don't we? He says, for necessity is laid upon me. The Lord put upon Paul a great burden. And the burden, the weight upon his heart, was to set forth the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness, his bloody sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. The Lord laid that upon him as a great burden. As you read through the Old Testament, you'll often come across these words: the burden of the Lord was upon Habakkuk, for instance. And several of the prophets of God spoke about the burden of the Lord. Oh, that God would lay the burden of his word, the burden of his gospel, the burden of the salvation of the people to whom we preach upon me and upon every preacher of the truth. To be concerned about people. You're going out into eternity. Everybody I'm talking to right now, all of you here and those of you who are watching, you're going out into eternity, either going to heaven or hell. That's what makes this so serious. We're not here playing games on Easter Sunday. We're not out here hunting Easter eggs. We're not doing things like that. We're in here talking to eternity bound men and women and young people about the things of God. Oh, that God would get your heart and get your ears to heed what he has to say in this book. He says, necessity is laid upon me. I'll tell you exactly why I went to Honolulu. Necessity was laid upon me. I'll tell you why I preached to you this morning. Necessity is laid upon me. I have a burden. I have a burden. God has put upon me this desire to preach Christ and him crucified, the one who came from glory, the one who was born in a manger, born of a virgin, who grew up in full obedience to the law of God and then took upon himself all the sins of his people, and God crucified him. God put him to death on the cross because he was the sin bearer. He bore the sins of all of his people and he bore them away into a land uninhabited. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. You read that. He was buried. And when he came out of that tomb, our sins remained in the tomb. He had killed our sins forever. That's good news to sinners. He did away with our sin debt. We don't owe the justice of God one thin dime. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Listen to those of you who believe Christ Jesus the Lord. No judgment for you. No condemnation for you. No damnation for you. Because all of that fell upon our Savior. And we go free. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the burden that God puts upon the hearts of his preachers. He says, necessity is laid upon me. I don't pick and choose my subject. I always preach the gospel of Christ Jesus. And any man who's worth his salt, any man who's called of God, any man who occupies the pulpit, who has been taught the truths of God's word by the Holy Spirit, necessity is laid upon him to tell the truth about God, tell the truth about men, tell the truth about Christ Jesus. And then Paul says, yea, woe is unto me. I'm doomed. That word woe means I'm doomed. I'm doomed if I don't preach the gospel. I'm doomed. And you're doomed if you don't believe the gospel. Isn't that right? That's right too. A great big woe hangs over the heads of every preacher who doesn't set forth the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory. A great big woe. He's doomed. He's going to have to answer to God. And a great big woe hangs over the heads of those who believe not this gospel. People who are trying to work themselves into God's good graces, trying to do something to please God, trying to work, keep Ten Commandments, do good, be charitable, whatever, thinking that'll get you in good standing with God. It won't. Because if you do anything thinking that'll get you in good standing with God, that actually stinks to God. Because you're putting your own self-righteousness up alongside of the glorious righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very powerful verse of Scripture. Preaching the gospel. What does the gospel, what does the word gospel mean? Well, it means good news. Good news. The Scripture says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. The gospel is good news. It's good tidings of great joy. You remember there in Luke chapter 2 when the angel spoke to the shepherds who were out watching their flocks by night? And the angel of the Lord, speaking to those shepherds, said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." That's what the gospel is. It's good tidings of great joy. The gospel is good news. It's not good advice. It's not good counsel. It's good news of what God has already done for His people through the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is a clear declaration of something that has already happened. The gospel is not an invitation. The gospel is a declaration. I'm just telling you what God has already done for His people in the person and through the work of His darling Son. That's the gospel. Good tidings of great joy. What kind of joy? Not carnal joy, but spiritual joy. Not imagined joy, but real joy. Not temporary joy, but everlasting joy. The gospel is good tidings of great joy. Not little joy, but great joy. Even joy unspeakable and full of glory. God has sent His Son. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He did everything that God demanded that we should have done. He was the faithful, obedient servant. We ought to be obedient. I wouldn't belittle that. We ought to obey God. But the fact of the matter is, we're all sinners. That's me and you and everybody else. You better come face to face with that. Oh God, give me honesty to see myself in the mirror of the Word of God. To see myself as God describes me. I'm alienated from God. I'm cut off from God. I'm dead in trespasses and sins. I have no hope except in this mediator representative, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good news of great joy. Great joy. The gospel. Preaching the gospel. What does it mean to preach the gospel? Well, let me give you four things, okay? I'll give them to you briefly, but you need to listen. If you listen real good, I won't take too much of your time here. Sometimes I've told people, if you're not in too big a hurry to go to hell, would you just stop and listen for a little bit? It's to tell the truth about God. That's what the gospel is to tell the truth about God. If there's one subject that this religious world is absolutely ignorant about, it's the subject of our great God. Thoughts of God are too little. All religious error, see if you can get this, all religious error involves two things: bringing God down, making God to be less than he is, and raising man up, making man to be more than he is. All religious error stems from those two great misunderstandings, those two great errors. Who is God? He's not as you imagine him to be. He's not Santa Claus in the sky. He's not somebody who's waiting on you like he's your valet, and he wants to do this or he wants to do that if you'd only let him. That's not God. What is the truth about God? Number one, he's eternal. He inhabits eternity, is what the scripture says. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. We're just little creatures of a very short time here in this world. God's always been and he always will be. And he's a whole lot bigger than you can possibly imagine him to be. He inhabits eternity. Why, he's the God who says, my name is I Am. I Am. He's always in the present tense. He, at any point in the eternity of God, it's always in the present tense with him. It's not he was a million years ago. He could say, I am. Today he says, I am. A million years in the future, he says, I am. That's God. That's God. I'll tell you something else about God. He's the creator. He spoke all things into existence. He spake and it was done. Genesis chapter 1. He said, light be, lights came on. He's a God of creation. He made all things by the word of his power. He's a God of providence. He who purposed all things before the world began is moving all things along according to his will. As we view the world today and all that's going on, anybody who is of a sane mind has to be somewhat disturbed about the situation, the immorality, the perverseness, the ungodliness of this world. You're certainly disturbed about that. And we look at these things and we say, Lord, how long? How long? But God sits upon his sovereign throne, governing all things. And let me tell you something. All things are going exactly according to his will. Say, Jim, would you explain that to me? I can't explain it. I just declare it. See, those of us who preach the gospel, we speak of truths that we really can't comprehend ourselves. So I can't get my mind around a God like that. Well, of course you can't. He's the infinite God. He's the eternal God. He's the sovereign God. He's the all-powerful God. We can't comprehend such a God. But we do believe him. We believe him. He's a God of providence, and I'll tell you, he's a God of grace. He's the only one who can help us. This God who is holy, this God who is just, this God who is righteous, this God who can't bypass iniquity, that is, he can't pretend it never happened. He's got to deal with sin. So that's why the Bible always takes us back to the Lord Jesus Christ, because God's got to do something for his own law and justice. He's got to punish sin. And he has punished the sins of his people in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it to preach the gospel? Number one is to tell the truth about God. I'm not trying to get you to feel sorry for God. I'm not trying to get you to pity God. I'm not trying to get you to do anything for God. What I'm telling you is that God is so great and so glorious, he's the only one who can help you and me. And it's his option as to whether he helps us or leaves us as he finds us. That's his sovereignty. He said, I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. Tell the truth about God. Secondly, what is it to preach the gospel? Tell the truth about man. Tell the truth about man. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, is what the scripture says. Psalm 14, the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that were good. He said they've altogether become filthy, stinking. Would it offend you if I told you that in your natural depravity you stink in the nostrils of God? Would that offend you? Let me tell you something. I stink in the nostrils of God by nature. God talked about the religion of Israel, had no heart worship. He said, you're just smoke in my nose. If set by a campfire and the smoke somehow or another has a way of finding you out, It burns your eyes. It's so offensive. God says, that's you and your religion. A works-based religion. God says, that's you. Well, if I'm that offensive to God, how in the world can God receive me? He's got to have a sweet-smelling sacrifice. That's the sacrifice of Christ. It's the only way that sinners can be saved is through the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus. To preach the gospel is to tell the truth about God, to tell the truth about ourselves, but thirdly is to tell the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. I listen to some preachers today, and I've paid my dues. I've been pastoring 45 years. I think I have the right to say anything I want to say about preachers. I've paid my dues. And I'll say this. I'll say what Mary said about our Lord's body missing from the tomb. She said, they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. And I say that to most of the preachers who preach today. I've listened to some messages on sermon audio, and in my heart I say, they've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him. You listen to somebody or watch somebody on television, you say, well, they said a lot of good things, but they didn't say the good thing. That's the problem. But you see, you're hearing this morning the true gospel of the grace of God to sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this message concerning our Lord Jesus and his sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, you are fully responsible to believe this message. You have heard the truth now. You may not have heard the truth before, but you've heard the truth now. And you're going to be accountable for what you hear. Folks, forget about that. And I know we don't have much time to think about facing God, standing before the Lord one day. But if you do not believe the gospel of the grace of God to sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ, one day you'll stand before God and you won't be able to say, I never heard before. I never heard of your son. I never heard of the necessity of his bloody death upon the cross of Calvary. You won't be able to deny the fact that you heard the truth of the grace of God to sinners, unworthy sinners, through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you are hearing the gospel right now. And God's going to hold you accountable for what you're hearing. Oh, may God give you grace to believe. To believe on the Son of God. It's to tell the truth about Christ. He's God. Who is he? He's God. He's God in human flesh. I'm going to talk tonight about the hands of our Lord. And when I was working on that message yesterday, and I was thinking about it when I was over in Honolulu, I started working on it then. I was thinking about Mary. The Lord Jesus was born, and you moms especially, and dads too, you newborn, and you start counting, and look at them fingers. Look at them little bitty, you remember? Remember them little bitty fingers? Let me tell you something, Mary counted the fingers of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was real flesh and blood. God, yes. Creator, yes. Governor of the universe, yes. Made flesh, yes. Just a small infant. Think of that. Just a little baby. Why in the world would he leave heaven's glory to come down here to this earth, where he was not received nor welcomed? They didn't want him. When they found out that he didn't come to set up a kingdom for Israel and run all the Romans out of town, when they found that out, they didn't have more use for him. And they hated him because he said, I'm the Son of God. Who is Jesus Christ to you? That's a good question. Who is Jesus Christ to you? To some people, he's not much more than a curse word. They take his name in vain every day and think nothing of it. To others, it kind of feels sorry for him. Poor Jesus. Died on the cross because people hated him. What do you think? What think ye of Christ? That's a really good question. In fact, that's a Bible question. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said he's David's son. He said, well, how can it be David's son and David's Lord all at the same time? And that's something. He's the God-man. That's who he is. Had to be God to satisfy. Had to be man to suffer, bleed, and die. The penalty for sin is death. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Today being Easter, most all the people in this country and many other countries are acknowledging his resurrection. And I'm thankful he arose again. He arose again because he died. Why did he die? That's a good question. What was the reason for his death? Why did he die? Did he not have control over that? Was this something that happened by accident because God kind of lost things and man run away with the purpose of God and said, well, we're just going to kill your son? He died on purpose because God ordained his death. Because through his death, justice was satisfied. Do you understand that? That's what his death is all about. Satisfying God. The wages of sin is death. Somebody's going to die for your sins. Somebody's going to die for my sins. Either Christ has already died for them and settled the account forever, or I'm going to die. And one of the others is true. Death for sin. What is the preaching the gospel? It's the truth about God. It's the truth about us. We're sinners. Truth about Christ Jesus. Yes, he died, but he arose again. What does that tell us? What does his resurrection announce? God is satisfied with his sacrifice. That's what his resurrection announces. God's pleased with what his son did. And all for whom he died are accepted in the beloved. We've always been accepted in the beloved. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. One more thing. What is it to preach the gospels? Tell the truth about God. Tell the truth about ourselves. Tell the truth about Christ Jesus. Number four, tell the truth about salvation. Salvation. It's of the Lord. And it's all of grace. Oh, how I pray that God would work in the hearts of all of us. Folks, we're all in the same boat. I wish I could get people's attention, but I only speak to you for a few minutes. Here's what I pray for you. Each one of you, and I'd like to say this to each one of you individually if I could. I pray that God would deal with you by his grace, through his Spirit, concerning this gospel that's been preached to you this morning. I pray that God will impress upon your heart, this is the very truth of God. And if God does a work of grace in your heart, you'll never get over it. You'll never get over it. And you'll say, oh God, I'm just a beggar. Throw some mercy crumbs my way. I deserve death, judgment, and hell. But if you will, you can show me some mercy. There was a fellow recorded in Matthew and Mark and Luke. He was a leper. Our Lord Jesus was up on the mount. He preached the Sermon on the Mount. And there was a man who had leprosy. He dare not go up on the mountain to be with all those folks. Hundreds and hundreds of people listening to Jesus of Nazareth teach. So he camped out at the foot of the mountain. And when the Savior came down the mountain, that poor fellow was waiting for him. And he fell down upon his face before the Son of God. And he said, Lord, if you will, you can show me mercy. Why don't you come to the Lord that way? Well, I'll tell you what, if he draws you, you will come that way. And if he draws you, he's already showing you mercy. Isn't that right? He's already showing you mercy. Lord, I'm the chief of sinners. You got some breadcrumbs to toss to me. I'd be ever so thankful. But you know what? He gives us more than the crumbs. He gives us the riches of His grace, and He gives us all things in Christ. Let's turn to number 59 in our song books. The Great Physician.